Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Colasar, charging out. Colasar, the righty, shoots and scores! Colasar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the
We got a whole bunch to get to over the next couple of hours. Bruce Cassidy will join us via Ashley Weiss in an interview that was conducted at nighttime at noon. We're going to replay that because it was sensational. It was so good. And anytime you can fit Spider-Man and some of the background to Spider-Man and some of the characters that were in Spider-Man through the eyes of Bruce Cassidy and a Shaggy impersonation. Or it was a Scooby impersonation that Bruce did.
Oh, yeah.
About Shaggy, which was outstanding. So we'll get into that at some point over the next 2 hours. Tonight's schedule on the way with the clinching situations and some individual history at stake on a pair of fronts that's coming up with the 100 assist mark. And we'll also bring you news notes with one-timers. And also want to talk about what's happened with the Vegas Golden Knights in this bounce back. And we'll have our game rating. But first, let's open up the phone line, 702-876-1340. First show of every week belongs to you with the opening block. And let's get into things and find out just how your feeling after the clinching situation came to fruition and then following it up with a marvelous comeback over the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where we go with the phone call of 702-876-1340. As Darren mentioned, we do this every opening block of the first of the next week. That's this time right now, so give us a call. We have lines open, but we'll go out to the phone line first, bring in Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm very surprised I beat Mike today, so I'm honored.
Well done.
I got to say that seeing Hurdle, just mesh with everybody, he gives us that thing we really need in the playoffs, which is grit in front of the net. I know Colasar has done a decent job, but I think learning from Joe Pavelski has made Hurdle just an outstanding, in that capacity. And also, I want to ask, did they change the playoff seating this year?
No.
To just 1 through 8, or
no.
Is it?
No, but still top three in each division with 2 wild cards.
Right, but I thought, like last year, didn't we play in our division and then the conference finals was against Dallas?
Yes, but
because we're the number one seed.
You're the number one seed, so you stay in your division. Right now you're wild card two, so you would cross over. So think about this a year ago. Number one seed, the Vegas Golden Knights, but Winnipeg was wild card two, so they crossed over, and Winnipeg from the Central played in the Pacific. So a similar situation to what Vegas is doing this year.
And I don't mind who we play because you have to play the best to win the best championship in sports, so bring them on.
Great thoughts, Rick. Appreciate it. Just a piggyback on what is in store for Vegas, and there is a good chance that they do play the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Could end up facing the Edmonton Oilers too, depending on what happens in the final couple of games. But if they have to cross over and go through the Central, that is not a journey that you would select, that you would go out and say, I'll put up my hand, I'll do the crossover. But the Golden Knights' record against Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg this year is exceptional. And those are the three teams that they would have to navigate. Two of them, if you go through the Central Division. And so at least you've got that. Now, a year ago, they swept the season series, or they got swept by Dallas in the regular season, and they handled Dallas easily in the playoffs. This year, they swept Dallas in the regular season. So, who knows? Maybe it is offset, but at least on this season's history and performance, Vegas would not be intimidated by the Central Division at all.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that this is a team that's going to be intimidated by much going into the postseason. You have, you know, maybe preferred paths or paths that maybe have a little bit least or a little bit less resistance. But, you know, you're going to have to beat good teams anyway. And, you know, you might as well get it out of the way as early and as quickly as you possibly can.
Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado. And that is interesting three teams. We saw Colorado yesterday. We'll dive into the game rating in just a little bit. On the Pacific side, I don't think Vancouver is an intimidating team. Good team, but not playoff tested. Vegas has done a really good job head-to-head, and especially in Edmonton, over the last couple of years, and had success in the bubble, so they like that environment. I know there's fans now, and Los Angeles might be the most awkward team that they could face on this journey in a second round scenario or a third round scenario, based on the different type of neutral zone that they've had. So there's a lot to digest with that, but a lot of it comes up in a very positive fashion for the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, it sure does. Good stuff there, Rick. Thanks so much for the call. 702-876-1340. We do have a line open. Let's go to line number two and bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, gentlemen. Is this an AI or is this Darren Millard?
This is Millard. What do you want, Mike? What's going on? Tell me.
Man,
give me the goose.
Great to hear you again. And it will be fun to listen to your comments on Coach Cassidy. He is a hoot. He is fun to listen to, and I don't know if there's a better interview among coaches anywhere. So that'll be fun also when you address that a little bit later.
Reggie!
He was good. He was excellent. Mark Stone. I want to talk about Mark Stone. I've seen him practice now twice in red, and you guys probably – I know you have, Darren – It seemed to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that his shot and his effort in his second practice was 100% better than the first one. Was that my imagination?
I don't think so. But maybe you saw him doing a different drill. You noticed that during a different part of practice. I don't think that there would be any, not like a game where things are different from one game to the next when you come back from an injury and you got to get up to that game speed. I don't think it's quite the same in practice, but maybe there is something there. I'm not surprised that you would lean on Mark Stone getting better each time out, but interesting observation that I hadn't noticed, Mike.
Well, we all talked about it, his slap shot, the way he approached the net. Just overall, he looks so much better in practice number two. Yeah. This gives me hope that he'll be ready to go come next week.
He doesn't take a lot of slap shots, but he did score on one this year. And he and I have had conversations about him taking more slap shots. Now, Mark doesn't take advice directly from me and process it and put it in the bank and utilize it.
I don't know why not.
And isn't motivated by it. But we have had that discussion about slap shots because he does have a very good one.
He did the other day, I'll say that. And I don't know why he was showing it off, but he sure did. Now, I'm going to let you guys run from here. The three of you have just been named whatever God, commissioner, whatever, and you can make the playoffs different than they are right now. In other words, you can change the structure, and I know Ryan knew this was coming. I want to hear your takes on how you would change the playoff system, if at all.
All right. Before I let you go, are you okay if I'm a God and they're commissioners?
As long as you're a small G.
Oh boy.
Okay. I'm... As long as it comes out that way, I'm with that. Okay, Mike, let's get into this. I'm going to go first because I'm a god. I would make one tweak to the playoff structure, and I would get rid of the wild cards and just have it fully inside the division. Mm-hmm. And go through and build your rivalries year after year. There's not Winnipeg bouncing over one year or Vegas bouncing over another, like what could potentially happen this year, what did happen a year ago. The rivalries are best initiated during Stanley Cup playoffs. You play more games inside your division than any other game, so I would lean on that. The only reason why the wild card exists and the crossover potential exists is when there was odd number of teams in divisions, and you needed to balance that that out. And if one team had one division had more teams than the other, people were sour that that it wasn't the same competition for spots. If seven teams are battling for four spots as opposed to eight teams, it was slightly unfair. And so they put in the wild card to appease everybody, including the players, who had a strong say in that with the NHLPA. Right now, you've got equal, so perfect, and 8-8-8-8. So let's go with getting rid of the wild cards or any type of crossover. The first time that you're going to face anybody outside your division will be the third round, and then, of course, the Stanley Cup final. That's my decision. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I've been banging that drum for a couple of years now. If you're going to have divisional playoffs, make them truly divisional playoffs. Get rid of the wild card. Have it go 1-4 in your division. That's who makes the playoffs. It's 1-4, 2-3, and as you mentioned, the only time you play outside of your division is round three, and then after that, it's the Stanley Cup final. If you want divisional matchups, if you want rivalries, that's the way to do it. If you're not going to abolish the wild card and go 1-4, then give me 1-8.
Really? So you because you do potentially have, for sure you have at least one divisional matchup under the system right now, potentially two.
I mean, you do, but again, if you want to sell me,
you're all or nothing.
Yeah, if you want to sell me on, I'm doing this because I want to build in rivalries. It makes no sense that the Golden Knights and the Nashville Predators are both in the playoffs and would have to cross over. It just doesn't make any sense to build those rivalries that you're talking about. So to me, it's 1-4 divisional format, and that's the way you do it. You get rid of the wild card. If you're not willing to do that, then you got to go 1-8.
You're like my toddler. Used to be all or nothing.
Literally agreeing with you, and you're like,
"Darn it!" No, but different reasoning on that. Let's go with Chapman. Where are you headed with this?
I like 1-8 personally. Like, I think 1-8, you're getting the best teams through usually. I mean, let's be honest. Dallas and Winnipeg both have great seasons. As have Colorado. It kind of sucks that Colorado and Winnipeg, one of them is going to knock each other out early on. I'd like to see a format where those teams can advance. I mean, look, I look at the Eastern Conference, Rangers and Hurricanes could be the two best teams, and they may not meet in the Eastern Conference final. So I like the 1-8 because I think it gives the best teams the best chance to get through. But I also like the PWHL where they're doing, and it's obviously a much smaller league, so you can get away with it, but pick your opponent. I mean, we'll never see that in the NHL.
Don't think that'll happen.
But I just love the pettiness of it. And, you know, I think you could get teams fired up. If you're that team that the first seed picks, you're gonna get a team that says, hey, you know what? These guys disrespected us. Let's go out there and kick their butt.
You know what would happen if it was pick your opponent in the National Hockey League?
You would just pick the opponent that mathematically you would play anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That is totally true. Mm-hmm. Hockey would be a sport where you would be so adverse of giving your opponent any type of bulletin board material or possible motivation. You would, even if you were like Vancouver and Florida was the 16th ranked team, mm-hmm. And you had to fly cross continent, the longest travel in a league, they would probably still take Florida because they didn't want to take Seattle because, and Seattle was eighth. They didn't want to give anybody any motivation.
No, that's absolutely true. All right.
So, I think Ryan and I are minor tweaks to it.
Yeah,
we would prefer divisional full divisional playoffs right now. Now, right now there's the wild card. This year you're still getting the top eight in the Western Conference. You're just having a crossover of the seventh and eighth place teams within it. Now, I wonder if there's not five teams from one division and three from another, could you say everybody stays in their division? Could you have that little asterisk with the playoff format? Would that be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, if you have an even split 4-4, then you do away with the wild card seeding, I suppose. But, you know, then you might have a team that has a significantly better, or at least a marginally better wild card spot that wants the weaker team at the top of the division and or the top of the conference. So you can kind of sort out how fair it is or isn't for each team involved. But, you know, to me, again, if you're going to say divisional, if you want to go with this bracket type of format, 1-4 in each division, that's who qualifies. That's the way to do it. No crossover until that Western Conference or Eastern Conference final. If you're not going to do that, you don't want to do that. If you want the crossover or don't mind it, then I think you go 1-8. I think that's what makes the most sense.
My biggest argument for divisional playoffs are the Hartford Whalers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would ever remember, with all due respect, nobody would remember the Hartford Whalers playing any significant games, if not for divisional playoffs and a couple of memorable series. Otherwise, they were just there. You thought about the mall when your team played there. That's all you heard of.
Sure.
But they had a couple of great series inside the Adams division, Montreal Canadiens being one of them, and it jumped out at you. And that's the type of rivalry or intensity or memory that you hope to create out of a divisional playoff.
Yeah, it sure is. Let's go back to the phone lines, 702-876-1340. Bring in Brad. Brad, you're a trooper. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Ryan, Chapman, Darren. Welcome back. Long-time listener, first-time caller, year one fan. This team, I think, has what it takes and is going to be gritty in the playoffs.
Is that because of the addition of Hurdle, or they're going to be grittier?
I think it's more grittier. Hurdle's a big part of that. Hanifin out there at the blue line is just plain outstanding since coming over to us. He was doing well beforehand, but I think he's picked up his game. I think he's found a niche where he's found a new family here in Vegas, and the team supports him, the community supports him, and I think we're going to go all the way again. I don't think it's going to be as smooth a sailing as it was last season, but we're going.
I love that confidence, Brad, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Grittier is interesting because, you know, you look at what Vegas has been able to do with Tomas Hertl in the lineup and where he goes. That's, you know, an aspect of this team, specifically on the power play, that, you know, you've needed for a while, and it's worked out well, certainly for the Golden Knights. But I think you have to be gritty to win in the first place. You've got to be really hard-nosed and tough mentally to go back-to-back. And so I think you look at a win like yesterday against Colorado, the Golden Knights showed something in that third period. It was a really good pushback, and I'm interested to see how that kind of propels them the final two games of the year into the playoffs. We'll go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great.
So, feels awesome to have another playoff spot clinched. I said a couple of times I really wanted us to win our way in rather than St. Louis losing their way out of the playoffs, and we were able to do that. So glad we were able to do that. And it's crazy because I know right now everything is about the playoffs and making it in that push, but there were two things that the Knights put up today that, you know, have nothing to do with the playoffs and are just, well, one does a little bit, but are just how the team is impactful in our community. And that was the low-speed GK mural that was unveiled in downtown. And then Mark Stone at the unveiling of the Cancer Bell, the I can't think of the name of it, but at the Cure for Kids Cancer Center, the kids get to ring when they defeat cancer. And I've been lucky enough that none of my kids have had to endure that, but I have friends who have had kids that have had battles with cancer. And while it seems like just such a small thing, like ringing a bell, it makes me a little emotional. It's such a huge moment for them. And I love that our team is going out there and making sure those moments can keep happening for kids.
I don't know if you saw the picture of Mark sitting with the young fella who's receiving treatment, and the smile on both their faces is motivational in itself. Just seeing Mark, father in the last year, and his impact and being the team captain down there. He's not ready to play, but and a lot of players aren't out there doing that when they're injured and not ready to play. But Mark was at the front of that line to be part of that today and unveil that the cancer bell. It's part of your cancer treatment when you go through it, being able to ring that bell and to be able to take it to the kids and make it part of their journey and give them something to look forward to is pretty significant, Stephanie.
Yeah, like I said, there are so many things about this team that just, it goes beyond hockey, and I'm so glad that we have them here in Vegas to bring that to us.
Awesome stuff. There's Stephanie. Appreciate the call. And the Los VGK mural over at Casa Don Juan, it is spectacular. It's just, I don't know. You wonder how artists do it on a regular canvas. But doing something like that on such a large scale just blows my mind.
Yeah, I'm not artistic at all. So anytime you throw any type of art my way, I'm blown away. I don't understand how people can create things so beautiful in so many different ways. But yeah, I'm with you. I can't draw stick figures to save my life. So yes, you're right on the money.
One side of it connects with people going through an awful journey and trying to support them and maybe distract them and motivate them, make them feel better with the cancer bell. And on the other side, you have a connection to the Hispanic and Latino community with that mural with Los VGK, which is awesome. Back to the phone lines. Is David still with us? Are you there?
Nope. Doesn't look like it.
Darn it, I knew we might have lost him along the way. David, call back because we'd love to get you on to 702-876-1340. Give us a shout because we had you waiting there, unfortunately, for a little bit as we worked our way through some of these questions and theories, especially about the Stanley Cup playoffs and what we would change with the playoff format. But love to hear what you had to say regarding the Golden Knights and clinching a playoff spot for the sixth time in 7 years.
Well, I'll tell you what I have to say about it. It's pretty awesome. You know, you look at a lot of other fan bases, a lot of other franchises around the National Hockey League who have not had any type of regular season success that leads to the playoffs in quite a while. And you recognize just how special it is that this organization, built from the ground up 7 years ago, has been able to put a product on the ice that in six out of those 7 years, they've qualified for the postseason. They have been in the dance. They've had an opportunity, a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup every year. And now you enter as defending Stanley Cup champions. That's the first box you need to check off. The Golden Knights were able to do it on Friday, and then they followed up with a really nice win yesterday.
Compare last year's stretch drive and then where they were going into the playoffs to this year. And it's a legitimate question. How we know how confident they were last year, where they almost ran the table down the stretch to hold off the Edmonton Oilers and had a home ice edge through the first three rounds. It was marvelous performance by the Vegas Golden Knights, and they added to it every round. This year, they're in a wild card position and could potentially slide up to third in the Pacific, but aren't going any higher than that, or maybe get to WC2. But I don't think, in talking to these guys and observing the Golden Knights, that they're any less confident because they've been through it before. Last year, you want to make sure you're ready, which is similar to this side, but you also want to, as high a seed, and you're trying to give yourself the best route possible. They know now that they can get through almost anything. And that, to me, tells me that whether it's WC2 or whether it's the number one position, they feel the same about their game.
I think that's probably right, in that they've been through the rigors of going all the way. They've done it. They've had a lot to get through this season just to get to this point, but I don't believe this team is fazed by whatever path they have in front of them. I mean, realistically, you can look at the same teams, right? The Golden Knights might have to go through the exact same teams this time around. It might be Dallas, Winnipeg, and then Edmonton in a different order, but the same scenarios, the same situations. So you have confidence that you were able to navigate that last year, but you've also done it. You've gotten to the end, and I don't expect it to be easier this time around. I think it's going to be harder, certainly. And the season that this team had, I feel like, is battle testing them and getting them ready for a tougher, more arduous task through the postseason. Because to be honest, last year they made it look pretty smooth. They really did. And in that respect, I feel like it's going to be different. But I think they're more prepared for it now.
You know what you learn when you win is that the regular season doesn't mean as much as what you thought.
Not much.
You still need to be good. You still need to get in. You still have to have your game in shape. Mm-hmm. But where you end up in that whole mess isn't as important as what you thought previously. Back to the phone lines. Rob, you're on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I think this team, this is what they've been waiting for all year. I thought they were kind of bored. You know, the first part of the season, they were still high from winning the cup, and then they kind of got into this lull, and I think they were just waiting to get to the playoffs, which you'll see that a lot with teams that win a championship the following year. It's like living in Las Vegas, it's like playing high-stakes poker, and then you go to the nickel slot. I mean, and that's what it was. And they were – I guess they didn't – the only thing they didn't anticipate was the injuries. And then when they started to get behind the eight ball, then they were in jeopardy of missing the playoffs. Then they had to turn it back on. But I think they're ready now. You could see it in the last few games, and now with Hurdle, which is this year's Barbashev. I just think they're ready to roll. This is what they've been wanting to get. They couldn't speed the season up fast enough to get to where they are right now, and they're pretty much healthy. Guys are coming back, and I just think this is what they wanted to get to. If you could, you know, they wouldn't say it, but they just wanted to go to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, so I think they're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think if they could have started the playoffs after 20 games, they would have done that. Or 30 games, they would have done that, because that's the best time of the year. And when you win, you realize that more than at any point during the course of your career. Just a comment on Hurdle and being this year's Barbashev. I have a different comparison. I have him as this year's Kessel, because of the vibe that he brings in
that
room. Yeah,
but I think he's much better than Kessel.
No. The vibe, not player. The vibe inside the room. What Phil Kessel did with that group last year, and as a teammate, and as
and
bring out the
yes.
fun in people
fun
and the
always.
Atmosphere. It was unbelievable what Phil was as a teammate and as a glue guy with that group. Behind the scenes last year. Didn't play beyond the early part of the playoffs, but still continued to be a teammate and was there all year as a teammate. What I've witnessed with Hurdle in the short time that he's been there is very similar. He wasn't playing. He was rehabbing when he was back, but he was in and around the team, and he was happy. I listened to Jack Eichel, who didn't know Tomas Hurdle, talk about how much fun of a guy he is and how positive he is. And you get about three different routes of description for him before you ever get to what type of player he is. And that's the comparison that I make right now. Now, his contribution in the playoffs will have to be more than Phil Kessel's was last year. But the immediate jump and positive vibe in and around that room has been very similar to what I saw out of Phil Kessel.
I would agree with that statement in that Tomas Hertl brings the vibes. Like, he just does. There's no other way to put it. Always has a smile on his face. He is a vibe. He absolutely is. And when you have that fun, but then there's also the competitive nature that comes along with Hertl, where he has a goal in the game yesterday. It gets called back because of goaltender interference. Then you fast forward to overtime. He's frustrated that he doesn't get a tip on that shot from the point prior to Jack Eichel's ripper that he scores the game winner on. And then the second time around, he gets it. You have so many different things kind of rolled into one package. There's the vibe, there's the room, there's the fun, and then there's the ability to back it up and finish on the ice. Tomas Hertl has been the fit.
He loves to tip pucks, and
yes,
he adores the front of the net. It's not like he says, I got to go there for us to have a chance to win. He legitimately wants to go to the front of the net. And the other day, he took a shot in front of the net. It was Friday's game, and they came back and scored in the power play a couple of minutes later, and he was back in front of the net. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a guy that just knows his job and embraces his job and is really good at his job. When he went to the front of the net yesterday for that power play, right before he tipped the puck home for the game-winning goal, he turned around and he looked at where Georgiev was, and he wasn't taking a chance. He did a full turn. Which side is Georgiev peeking around? Mm-hmm. And then shuffled over accordingly. He gets it. And I'll say it again, he learned from watching one of the best in the world at tipping pucks, mm-hmm, in Joe Pavelski. And there's different body types there, totally different body types, but very similar skill set in being able to go to the front of the net. And when things start to click, like the Shea Theodore sifter or Noah Hanifin putting it in on net. I think of Alex Petrangelo putting it, like, when these guys really get dialed in and start being able to read what Hertl's doing, and Hertl be able to read their releases a little bit more, I think you got a really interesting combination, just like what was Brent Burns back in the day in San Jose and Hertl and Pavelski in front of the net.
Oh, 100%. The more comfortable Tomas Hertl gets and the more he's able to read off of the players that he's out there with on the power play, 5-on-5, all of it, the better he's going to be, and he's already been pretty good.
How about his face-off percentage?
It's unreal. Ridiculous. Like, we talk about power play, we've talked about it all season long, but, you know, with Hertl, what you've got is you've got the net front and you've got the ability to win that face-off and stay in the zone. He's been so good in all those different situations. But you're starting with the puck way more because Hertl, it's almost like he doesn't lose. Big time situation, key moment, he does not lose those faceoffs.
Okay, here's the freaky part of what he's been able to do in the faceoff dot. Mm. And that's four games now, and he's 70%. I didn't see every one of his skates when he was coming back, but a majority of them I was able to see, and then into practice. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many times this guy worked on his face-offs during that journey? None. I didn't see him work with anybody.
Not one time.
On face-off. Now, I could be wrong.
Sure.
He might have spent at the end of practice while I was down in the room working on face-offs. That's totally a possibility. But I didn't see him practice taking face-offs once. And he has just stepped in cold the last four games and ripped off a 70% ratio. That's going to come down, but it's wild how effective he's been on the draw out of the gate mid-season. Heck, stretch drive season, knocking on the playoff door to be that good. That's the most, like, from an looking at him as an athlete point of view. Mm-hmm. That's the most impressive thing he's done.
Yeah, that's wild. That's truly amazing.
Incredible. Let's take a break. We'll come back with game rating and also make sure you're set up for hour number two. Remember, we've got Bruce Cassidy coming up. Raggy, he does his Shaggy impersonation or Scooby-Doo impersonation.
Scooby-Doo!
Get that right. Well, that was that, very good. Better. Do that again.
Oh, I'm not doing that again.
Come on.
That's a one-time deal, buddy.
Oh, do it again so I'm not talking over top.
Not a chance.
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Hush-gooby-doo.
There we are. We'll come back on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup a year ago without a 30-goal scorer during the regular season. This time around, they will try to repeat with three of them. Jonathan Marchessault topping 40, and yesterday Jack Eichel, William Karlsson, both hitting the mark for the second time in their respective careers. That's a lot of fun to see. Brett Howden's pass, though, has to be acknowledged, and what happened with that performance yesterday as we slide into our game rating from yesterday, and the big win, the come-from-behind win over the Colorado Avalanche.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Could go a couple of different ways with this, given that Vegas fell behind and then required its own comeback from three goals down to win the hockey game. Chapman, I'm leery to go with you first on this, knowing that you'll eat up all the time, but I will give you the floor out of the gate to waffle back and forth before eventually giving us your rating.
Well, you mentioned Howden's pass on that goal, but I got to acknowledge Zach Whitecloud's pass on that goal too. I mean, the pass to Howden was on point as well. So full marks all around on that particular goal. But I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5, a scotch. I didn't like that they fell behind 3-0, but look, I mean, the third period, I don't know how else you say it. I thought the power play was really good. They pick up a couple power play goals. I thought after that first goal that Aiden Hill gave up, I thought he played a good game. Look, it's a 4 out of 5. It's better than a 3. It wasn't an average game. It was a pretty good game, especially the third period. So I'm going to go with a 4. Scotch.
Cheers. Wallace.
I'll go 5 out of 5. I'm going to be the optimistic guy here. That's totally fine. You've got 6 power play goals in 4 games since Tomáš Hertl entered the lineup. Clicking at just about 54% on the man advantage. I love that. That's great for the Golden Knights. Tomáš Hertl, that's your Golden Knight moment, right? Like, we've talked about that in the past with Jack Eichel. Like, when did you become a Vegas Golden Knight? When did you have that on-ice moment? Hertl winning that game, come from behind in overtime, that is his moment. He is now forever a Vegas Golden Knight. And you know, as much as the Golden Knights fell behind, outside of the pass to Cale Makar, did you notice Nathan MacKinnon throughout the majority of the game? Not as much as you'd think, given that it was a 3-0 lead for Colorado going into the third period. So the fact that Vegas, I don't really feel like gave up a ton, and then you couple that with the come-from-behind victory and that moment for Tomáš Hertl, it's Dom Perignon for me.
I'll be honest, I didn't notice a lot during the first two periods. Even with Colorado leading the way they were, it wasn't a dominating performance. It had the feelings of a couple of teams that were just kind of that had won before, won recently, and are just waiting to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what the first two periods felt like. Like, let's just get through this, and then Vegas got a nice play. And the crowd kind of got into it, and everybody gets recharged, and let's go out and win this game. And that's exactly what they did with the surge in the third period. I'll go with the scotch. Tough to give it 5 just because you were down such a significant margin after two periods. But I like the way they came back. The power play is an added part of this recent performance with the Vegas Golden Knights and being able to give themselves a different look in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So with a power play that you're not hoping stalls the game for you, but has a legitimate opportunity to give you multi goals every game. And I think that's where they are right now. I love what they did on Friday night with Marchessault in the middle. He had two great looks from there, and he scored on one. If they can spread out the defenders like that, and Minnesota's not a great penalty killing team, but that gives you some confidence. And then you were able to do it again yesterday. Some positives, but a 4 out of 5 for me. Just one note though on our game ratings. Last year we did cars, and do you remember what the top of the mountain was? What the Dom Perignon was?
Yeah, DeLorean.
DeLorean.
Yep.
You know what I saw today?
A DeLorean.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Twice. Twice. I saw it in the same neighborhood up by me, but I saw it twice. I'm like, I might go follow this thing. if I didn't have to go get home for the kids after school, I was totally going to track that thing down and hope it went into the grocery store so I could, because I've never sat in one. I think that would have been cool. But my first reaction was, I got to tell Chapman about this.
What about Wallace? You got to tell him too.
But I feel like you and I are a little more of the immature side.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Wallace is more
I got to know, if you would have tracked that thing down, would you have asked the owner of the DeLorean if you could sit in the car?
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, you know what? You know how the conversation would have went. Hi, I'm Darren Millard. You may know me from television.
I'm a
god. Like, hey, I'm good friends with Wayne Gretzky. I don't know if you know that. Is Mark Messier more your guy? I don't know.
Nah, I probably spent more time with Mess because we used to do some stuff together back in Canada. But
like, if you were trying to convince somebody to let you sit in their car.
Yeah,
what's the angle? How would you approach that person? I got to hear this.
I just walk up and go, that is like the coolest car that I can remember from my childhood. Can I sit in that thing?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even name drop. Now, if the person said no, I would totally say, hey, Shane Knighty's over there.
Yeah.
He says that I should be able to sit in this car. And if that didn't work, I would say Dave Gosher is willing to pay $10, and Dave Gosher won't spend $10 on anything, and he wants me to sit in the car.
So what if the answer's still no at that point?
Then I'd probably say, hey, then you believe Derek that England. Guy just hit that car? And when they looked over, I jumped.
So you would try to steal a vehicle?
No, I wouldn't steal it. I'd just try and sit in it.
Yeah, look, you'd have to figure out how to get the doors open, though.
No, those butterfly doors, they'd already be open. If you're driving that, I'm not the first person to come up to you and say, can I sit in that thing?
That's probably true.
It's a moment. I would venture to guess probably twice a week somebody says, can they sit in it or get a picture with it? But I thought it was awesome. And it looked like the same type of shape that it was in. Mm-hmm. When Michael J. Fox was going through it, and it looked, I wouldn't say a little scratchy, but it wasn't pristine. It looked movie-ish.
It was,
I liked it.
It was purposefully used.
Yes.
They're eternal, I think. Like, the DeLorean will stand the test of time.
Yes.
At some point in the near distant future, there will still be somebody with a DeLorean.
Now, I just Googled how much a DeLorean costs.
That should be a segment. Chapman just Googled.
Yeah. And a DeLorean in good condition costs anywhere between $30,000 to $50,000. Apparently, out of the 9,000 that were originally manufactured, 6,500 still remain. Many have been restored. So that's actually pretty good. I think that actually is pretty says something good about the car, the fact that there's still a pretty high percentage of them still running today out of the ones that were manufactured.
Well, that's a heck of a price, $30,000 to $50,000 for a car that's
You make $350,000.
No,
so
I'm saying it's 40 years old.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good price for a car.
You know what you should do? You should buy one and drive it around the island. PEI.
Seriously. Why do you not own a DeLorean?
I have a high-end beater car.
Yeah, I know. But who's your neighbor, McLean?
Yeah, Doug's one of my neighbors.
No, not for the island, for here.
No, you got to have it on the island.
No. If you're going to have a DeLorean, you rock that here.
Imagine
in this
he's
city.
Driving around PEI and he comes across Turk, and Turk sees them driving that car. Turk will want to sit in it. And
I don't get the sense Turk will care.
Turk got himself a new sled this year, and he's not looking at my DeLorean, I'll tell you that. Based on the cost of his new sled compared to what a DeLorean costs.
Will the golf clubs fit in the back of that thing?
In the front seat.
Yeah.
Because there's not a back seat to his new sled. And good on him. Just like
I was talking about the DeLorean.
Oh, well, you're in the front seat. Yeah. There you go. Hey, you know what, though? With the butterfly doors, it might be easier on that. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll set up hour number two in the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Marchessault gets it back. Left wall for Eichel. Half a minute on the power play. Eichel scores! Top of the left circle! Jack Eichel in overtime! The Golden Knights win it after trailing by three. They defeat the Avalanche 4-3.
This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Fan Appreciation Week continues tomorrow night for the Vegas Golden Knights, Chicago Blackhawks. Jack Eichel bobblehead. You walk through the door, Jack Eichel bobblehead.
Nice.
That's kind of cool. 30-goal score with Jack Eichel. We've just gone down a rabbit hole on DeLoreans for sale. There's some hefty prices. Found one for $28,000. I don't know whether it even runs, but that's the cheapest I can find, $28,000. Everything else is like over $75,000 and up into six figures.
Come on.
Fun stuff there. Also want to let you know, when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights trying to run the table, they can put up a 100-point season if they win the last two games.
Yeah.
Third time in franchise history that's available.
Yeah, and if they're able to do it based on some other things that may or may not happen tonight, they can improve their standings in this wild card or third place in the Pacific or first wild card spot. So there's still a lot to play for over the final two games for the Golden Knights.
Chapman and I driving around in a DeLorean.
Well, just get the cheapest one. I know you're a big car guy, great mechanic, really smart in that regard. You can get it running.
Totally. Chapman and I with the thing on the hoist.
There we go.
Yeah.
And both of us with our arms crossed saying, what do you think we should do? I don't know. What do you think we should do?
What should we do first?
Go back to the future.
We should call somebody. That's what we should do. Hour number two is coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas.